Right. See, for just take a moment and just tune into the way that your feet make contact with the floor. And notice the tendency you have, whether you have more weight toward the inside of your foot or to the outside of your foot. Which heel do you have more weight on? Do you have more weight on the inside or the outside of the heel? Which heel has more weight toward the inside than the other? Which one has more weight to the outside? So you just take a moment and tune into the sense of how it is that you find the floor coming to meet your feet, or your feet coming down onto the floor to meet the floor. And we're going to make a study of the arches of your feet this evening. So go ahead and sit back down for a moment. And we'll see, because the ability to organize the musculature above the floor is based on the contact that you can get with the floor. Makes sense, because the musculature is, its main job is to keep you upright in space. And if you don't have clear and adequate support, then that musculature has to work overly hard. So the more clear that you can make the support, the easier it is for the muscles to turn on in the proper sequence. So go ahead and lie down for just a moment. Lie on your back. And you take a moment and tune into your breath. You might start with just simply exhaling. So you exhale and wait for a moment. And after you wait, there's a moment when your inhalation or the inspiration begins. And you might take a moment and notice what's the earliest moment that you can detect the beginning of your breath as the inhalation begins. So you exhale and wait, and you observe and attempt to detect the earliest moment that your breath is observable, noticeable. And you simply inhale and you follow the inhalation, and you notice how the inhalation moves in your torso, in your back, and in your ribs. So you take this moment to enter into the quiet space between your breaths. Exhale and wait. And prolong the waiting as long as you can before the inhalation begins. So that you can become attentive to the quietness. The non-dual state that holds the movement of your breath, so to speak. Any extra mental activity that you're holding or carrying with you or seems to be continually appearing, just simply let it pass through, and if you can, inhibit it. Simply don't let it arise. So that you can do the lesson from as quiet and as observant a place as possible, actually in a state of awareness, or that which sees the activity take place, rather than being identified with the activity. So bend your knees and stand your feet. Bring your feet to standing. Do you notice where you find your feet standing? Which foot stands closer to the center line? If you were able to draw a line from your forehead through your nose, through your chin, first of all, would it would it actually go to your sternum, or would it go to the right or left of your sternum? But if it went to your sternum, and through your navel, through the center of your pubic bone, that line, that imaginary line, which leg would be closer to that line? Which leg is would be away from that line, outside of that line? You notice as you're resting with your feet on the floor, you attend, again, to which heel. Which heel is it that seems to have more weight on the outside of the heel? Which heel seems to have more weight to the inside? Is there more weight to the outside of your foot, on the right foot or the left? Is there more weight to the inside of one foot, to the right or to the left? And just for your own information, take a moment. You're going to lift your pelvis, but you'll notice what's the very first moment that you can detect the direction that your knees want to move. So go ahead and lift your pelvis, but detect which direction your knees want to move as you begin to lift your pelvis. So just lift it a little bit from the floor. You notice your knees. Excuse me, lift your pelvis. So what direction is your... You lift your whole pelvis, but which direction do your knees want to move? Can you detect whether or not your knees move away from you, away from your head, down towards your feet? Can you detect whether one knee wants to come a little bit inward, or do your knees want to move a little bit outward as you make the movement? Can you detect where you find the support for the movement in your feet? So you notice these things, and you just begin to attend to these details as you make this movement. And you leave yourself with an impression of the weight of your pelvis as you lift. You leave yourself with an impression in the way that your feet support the movement and the direction your knees move as you make the movement. Now, leave your pelvis on the floor and begin to make a movement. It's quite a subtle movement. It's an interesting movement. Begin to lift the inner edge of your right foot. In other words, it means in such a way that you leave your heel and the metatarsal head of the big toe on the ground. So you have to do something with yourself to make it possible for you to lift the inner edge of your foot. But your heel and the metatarsal head, the big toe, stay on the ground. Now, the metatarsal head, if you look at the skeleton here, you'll see the metatarsal head is the big toe joint stays on the ground. So there's a question, how can you leave the heel and the big toe joint on the ground and still lift the inner edge of your foot? So it's an interesting question. How are you lift the inner edge of your foot but still keep that bone, the head of the big bone in the toe, not the big toe, but the head of the big bone, the metatarsal head, and the heel? What movement will you make to lift the inner edge of your foot? So there's different ways that you can begin to play with that, but lift the inner edge of the foot a number of times. And continue to lift the inner edge of your foot. Now, to help you with this movement, actually, if you'll take with your fingers, and you'll take a look and see the way I hold my fingers, but you can take your thumb and you can put your thumb on the inside and the finger on the back side and your finger on the front side, and you can actually find the head of the fibula. So the head of the fibula is this little bone that comes along the outside of your leg, and the fibula obviously is to the outside of your right knee. So you take a moment, you can do it sitting up if you want to, Bob, you can sit up if you'd like. And you palpate along the outside of your knee until you find this bone, this strut. It comes from the outside of the ankle. It's the big knobby bone on the outside of the ankle. And then this bone makes a strut to the outside leg, and you can find the head of the fibula if you come up. And if you put the thumb behind and the forefinger in front. And then if you make this movement of lifting the inner edge of your foot, you can begin to listen to and sense, what direction does this bone move? Because this bone is pretty important to the actual activity of being able to lift the foot. And for people that have real difficulty with their feet and with their ankles, it's quite often that this whole area around the fibula, when you start to palpate it and touch it, you may find some real stiffness or some soreness right around the head of the bone there. Yeah, and this bone, in making the movement, has to be able to glide freely. In what direction do you sense it gliding? In other words, if I make this movement with the foot, and as you start to lift the inner edge of the foot, what direction is it that the fibular head will move? Now it'll actually glide up and back. So if you can sense that, you can sense that the head of the fibula glides up and back. Yeah? Now, there are different ways for you to make this movement of lifting the inner edge of your foot. One way you can make the movement is actually by lifting the inner edge of your foot. Another one is that you can rotate the lower part of the tibia in such a way that you have this outward rotation, and that outward rotation lifts the inner edge of your foot. Yeah? So you can start to play with actually making a rotation of the lower leg, and you can see that as I make this movement, this part of the inner part of the ankle and the outer part of the ankle change in position. The outer part of the ankle slides backward as the inner part of the ankle glides forward. Yeah. So you can play with that for a moment. You can initiate the movement at the ankle like this. You can initiate the movement at the tibial plateau, which is the area right below the femoral head. Now, when you look at the skeleton, you can see that as I bend the knee, you can see that the head of the femur glides, and you can actually, when you have the palpate along the kneecap, and you find these bony prominences to the right and left of the kneecap, that's the femoral condyle. Right, you can actually feel the femoral condyle. But if you go right down below that toward the foot, you can find the plateau of the tibia. You can just find this point, this space, and you can actually palpate along and find the edge of the tibia there. Yeah? Now, if you want to, you can actually hold the tibia and you can rotate the tibia under the femoral head a little bit. You can rotate it. And so to make this movement of lifting the ankle, you can rotate the inner aspect of the tibial plateau forward and the outer aspect backwards. So you're making, again, a little rotational movement. And for the most part, people aren't very well organized in the way that they place their foot under their ankle under the tibia under the knee to provide the support that they want, right? Because primarily what we're looking for is to have the transmission of force to come up and through the skeleton. And so the more that you can, in a sense, stack the bones underneath you, the more clearly the direction, the transmission of force can be. So if it turns out that you're shearing across any of the joints, that means that there's soft tissue or muscular tissue has to begin to take over that work, which makes this ineffective and makes us run 5/1/40s. The rest of us, see, we always could. we were pretty good at six. I might have run a 6:040, I think. It might have been my best. I don't know.
My problem, which probably gets to this, is they used to say I ran like I had a corn cob up my ass. So my feet weren't moving this way. I mean, they were flying over which way, and that probably has something to do with the efficiency and inefficiency.
Yes, probably. So anyway, so you can play with this. You can figure out there are at least four ways that you can make this movement. You can lift the inner edge by really, really attending to the movement of the inner edge of your foot. You can make the rotation at the ankle. That means that the lower edge, where the tibia, the lower end of the tibia, and the outer aspect of the fibula, lower aspect of the fibula, and you can actually begin to rotate that. You can take the fibula itself and begin to glide it up and back. Or you can take the tibial plateau and you can glide it. So you have four different ways. And if you really want to get to the place, you can have a sense of all those aspects working together. at which point in time the inner edge of the foot begins to lift quite nicely from the floor. There you go. You see, it takes quite a bit of time to just actually find where these locations are, and actually then with your attention to engage the activity with any kind of specificity or clarity. Yeah? Okay. Now for the fun of it, just lie back and rest for a moment. And as you lie back and rest, take a moment to notice the difference between your right leg and your left leg, just in the sense of your ability to attend to it, but also the sense of length or the engagement of the musculature, something that you use to determine some difference that you experience between your right leg and left. How much difference does just this process of paying attention make? All right. Come back to sitting if you wish. Yeah. So that you can observe the movement. It helps in these movements that are relatively subtle to actually be able to observe them in the beginning. But now make the movement and lift the outer edge of the foot. You lift the outer edge of the foot in such a way that of your right foot, in such a way that the metatarsal head of the little toe and the heel stays on the ground. What movement will you make to lift the outer edge of your foot? And that'll be a more difficult movement for you. And more or less, the movement is done not in such a way that you move the knee inwardly, right? But can you actually lift the specific outer edge of the foot with the activity of moving the foot, moving the ankle, moving the fibula, moving the tibial head? Can you do that? What movement would the fibula, the head of the fibula make if you lift the outer edge of the foot? See, if before to lift the inner edge of the foot went up and back, then the fibular head in this movement then actually has to glide a little bit forward, and you'll have the sensation of it gliding a little bit down, won't you? So you can take your fingers and you can actually sense the movement.
I got so much pure muscle there, it's really hard to.
Yeah, that's the mind quacking away with the garbage that it continues to present to us, and we actually believe it. That's the trouble. This unruly mind of ours has a way of deluding us with. But you're right, and for you that would be that's a lot of the reason why you have this really jammed up sense of your foot. Because then you end up walking on it and you don't get any of the articulation in the joints and that will really give you the freedom, all the joints, and the freedom to adapt to the changing surfaces you want. And until all those aspects, because the real aspect that's interesting is that you start to make these movements is the subtle way in which the femoral head then comes into the socket with these movements, into and out of the socket. Yeah. You start to feel the movement in the joint capsule. There you go. So now you're starting to get the outer edge of the foot to begin. You're starting to find a little bit, and you can start to find. Yeah. So again, you can play with it. You can do it by twisting the lower bones. You can look at if I had a pencil here or I had something going through here, I could actually make a little movement, and I could take this, if there was a skewer through here, I could actually take the outer skewer forward and the skewer on the inner aspect of the malleolus or the tibial, lower end of the tibia. So I could actually begin to play with the direction of taking it forward and back and forward and back and making these movements so that the foot and the ankle can actually be active. The importance of this is that in standing, 90% of the information that you get from your joints, the proprioception you get from your joints, comes from the way that the information is passed from the tibia through the talus. That provides you with 90% of the joint information as to where you are when you're standing. And this has to be, it has to be fluid, it has to be free. If you're really going to have really, really good quality joint information, data, so that the musculature turns on appropriate to what it needs. Otherwise, if you don't get good data, if you don't have good proprioception, you don't have a good sense of where you are in space, then obviously the musculature has to turn on too much so, to keep you from falling or to keep you upright. Okay? Yeah. Now you see this movement starts to become a little bit more fluid as you're able to lift the outer edge and the inner edge. So play with it. Now, the same thing. You can lift the inner edge of the outer edge of the foot by rotating the tibial plateau. The outer aspect of the tibial plateau rotates forward as the inner aspect rotates back. The lower aspect of the ankle can rotate forward and back. The head of the fibula can rotate, can move in such a way that it glides down and forward. And before long, you can play with the movement of lifting the outer edge of the foot and lifting the inner edge of the foot. Yeah. The foot that you have the most difficulty with will be the foot that will be most difficult for you to find these movements with. If you've had sprained ankles or in your case, surgeries, then the delicacy of the movements will be the most difficult to find.
It seems stiff in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it ends up being stiff in there because this musculature then, because you don't get the appropriate joint information, and the joint receptors give you three basic directions of movement. They tell you where you are. They tell you if you start to move in a direction, or if you change direction. So those are receptors in the joints that help determine our position in space, where our skeleton is in space. If we're not getting good joint receptor information, and as we age, the unfortunate thing is the same thing that happens to the joint receptors as happens to our hair. It diminishes, and the quality of the hair diminishes. In other words, it's not beautiful, lush, estrogen-based hair. Oh, excuse me. Yeah. But anyway, so the quality of the actual follicle actually diminishes. It becomes less capable, it becomes more brittle, less durable. So that those follicles diminish in number. So you have to actually engage yourself in practices that will keep the number of the receptors that you have stimulated.
Fluid.
So you have to have, because the thing that makes the musculature stiff or not stiff is data. So if you're getting clear and fluid data from the surface you're on, then the musculature turns on in an elastic way, turns on, turns off, appropriate to what you need for the support you need. But if you don't have clear data, and so you're, in a sense, the receptors are asleep, then you have to, the lack of data causes the system that has to stay oriented, has to stay upright, it'll force the system to tonify to too high a level. And you'll maintain the tonification, you get used to it. Yeah, and then the stiffness, and you have a sense that you're stiff, you have a sense of overwork, and you end up just kind of pounding yourself because you end up walking on feet that are just right. Okay, so make a few movements in such a way that you lift the outer edge and the inner edge of your foot, and you play with it from all the different movements that we've made by rotating the ankle forward and backwards, right and left, rotating the tibial plateau, which is right below the femoral head, the condyles of the femur. Make the movement in such a way that you can sense what the fibula does. We're moving forward and back and down and up a little bit. So you can play with each of these movements because you can initiate this movement from any place. Yeah, it's not that there's just one place that this movement's initiated from. Until you have a sense of the whole connection, your foot to your lower leg and to your knee. And so you just play with it for just a few more moments until it really becomes more clear for you. So obviously when you're bored with meetings and things are not going so well, in the grocery line or whatever, and you've been sitting there for a long time and you're waiting. Yeah, these are wonderful things to do. You can actually significantly increase just the comfort of your lower leg and your legs by working with this fluidity. I spend a lot of time just standing and finding out how to find the points of support in my feet, so that when I stand, I have a sense that the basic trajectory is that I'm standing and I'm sitting and I'm standing and the movement is going up and through me. And I want every activity to be like that. I don't want to have, you watch tennis players, right before they start to return a serve, and they all drop their weight and then before they come up. Well, they need to be in the place where they're already coming up, and the system has to be coming up, so they don't have that microsecond of shift. You know, if you watch golfers or you watch different athletes, and you can see, you watch the baseball player, and then he sinks. That baseball player is going to be a microsecond late on that pitch that's coming at 90 whatever miles an hour. He's a microsecond late because his system is expending itself on holding itself up, rather than being in a place where the skeleton provides the clear support and the trajectory of the movement through the skeleton through space is just through the skeleton without having to use the extra muscular effort. All right, lie back again and rest for a moment. And now do it without your eyes being able to see this. Bend your knees and stand your feet. And then make the movement with your right foot again now, please. Now that you've had the chance to discover, find out if it's possible for you to make some of these movements of lifting the inner edge of your foot. And think again of the different sense. Can you sense the ankle making the movement? Can you sense the tibial plateau making the movement? Can you sense the fibula as a part of the movement? And as you're lying back, can you sense that these movements that you make of lifting the inner edge of your foot, the effect that it has on the femur and where it joins your pelvis? And you may not be able to visualize exactly how the femoral head comes into the joint capsule, but you might be able to feel that there's an activity. And you might even be able to guess where your hip joint is just by where the activity seems to be taking place. And play with it, lifting the inner edge and lifting the outer edge. And go back and forth a few times if you want to. Lift the outer edge and lift the inner edge. All right, leave it. Rest for a moment. Lengthen your legs and just sense the difference. The difference in connection. The difference in length. The difference in muscle tone. The aliveness and the responsiveness that you sense in one leg. And you can compare it with the other and see if it's different. And it could very well be that the leg that you worked with you have a sense of it being less responsive. You have to determine for yourself what the difference is. But can you notice a difference between your right leg and left leg? All right, so stand your left leg and begin to make these explorations of your own. And you can do it sitting. You can come up to sitting. You can watch. You can observe. Begin to lift the inner edge of your left foot in such a way that your heel and the metatarsal head, that means the big joint, where the big bone in the foot, the big joint where the big toe joins, stays on the ground. And of course, go ahead and sit up if you want to. You need to watch, but hold the fibular head for a moment and so that you can actually experience what it's like to hold the fibular head and so that you can activate the movement. Your fingers will give you an impression. You could actually think. So if I take the fibular head and I draw it with my fingers back and up, then I can actually provide the means to create the change in the shape in my foot. Can you find it, Ani?
I'm not sure I have that bone.
You only have 206 bones in the human bodies, and dogs have many more bones than humans do. I think dogs have over 300 bones.
Really?
Yeah. Cats have somewhere in the middle between humans and... This is one of Moshe's more esoteric lessons, but it's actually one of the most important lessons for us. Actually, it's in the sense that it's something we, you know, again, especially having backgrounds in athletics, both you guys and all of us, where we sprained our ankles and we were reliant upon, and then we just played through the injuries or whatever, and the system becomes amnesic. The proprioceptor receptors go to sleep, and they never get woken up because we don't make accurate movements of the foot through the ranges of motion. And so even for years, yeah, all those muscles will be...
Yes. In the same slot over here.
Yeah, these are the anterior tib muscles. If you watch, these are the muscles that serve to lift the foot, right? So if I'm going to lift my foot in dorsiflexion, the top of the foot being the dorsal part of the foot, like the dorsal fin of a dolphin, if you're going to lift the foot in dorsiflexion, right? So, and these muscles, like if I want to make this movement, you can watch. See, there's a tendon. The tendon comes here, and you can come see it comes right into the middle of the arch here. Right? Well, that tendon, see that tendon pop up? You can see where it comes down. And you can see that tendon is coming out of these bones, out of these muscles here at the front of the leg. And the same thing comes through here. If I want to lift this outer edge of the foot, right, then the tendon sheath, there's the tendon for it. And you can watch, you can see the tendon sheath, and there's a tendon sheath that'll come down, and that comes and joins on the outer aspect of the little toe here, this part of the little toe. And so when the leg is rotated, and as these muscles contract, that's where the tendons are for lifting the outer edge and the inner edge of the foot. It's interesting if you go to some of these Body World exhibits, where you see these anatomies where the bodies have been preserved in this plasticine solution. And you can really, if you know what you're looking for, then you can really see how the tendon structure comes out of the muscle structure and joins to where it joins on the foot. Yeah. It's a much more interesting way of getting your anatomy class than sitting and trying to read anything out of a book, because they make the representations of what it's like for the athlete or for the person to be in some kind of functional activity. Okay? So again, you take go to the place where you can lift the inside and the outside, and you can locate. You can locate the movement of the ankle. You can locate the movement of the tibial plateau, which is underneath the knee. And you can locate the head of the fibula and become involved in lifting the inner edge and the outer edge of the foot until it becomes fluent. The foot that you've had the most difficulty with will be the one that you will stutter. It'll be difficult for you to find the smoothness, the continual smoothness of the movement. The brain will make brain cramps. It just won't have the smoothness. Like in this foot, for you, Bob, is much smoother than the other foot. It's much easier for you to. But here's your teaching aid. You can make this movement, and you can find it and feel it and sense it. Now, when that's clear, now you can use that again to come over back to your right foot and use it to as the example. Yeah. All right. Lie back and find out if you can make the movements without being able to see the movements. Just stand your left foot.
What I was finding was that I want to move this one because I'm not having the feeling in my left hip, which is the one that's been bugging me.
Uh-huh. Right, but you see, where do you put your knee on that? See that you end up, when you're making this movement, not when you're standing, but when you start to play around with it, you end up putting your knee to the inside. And that movement of the knee to the inside, if we were to look at this, as the knee comes inward, the joint capsule was right here, and you put the knee inward, you're actually rotating the femoral head out of the joint. Right, you're actually trying to rotate the femoral head out of the joint and out of the back of the joint, right?
Gotcha.
Now, if I take this movement that we're making of lifting the inner edge of the foot and making this rotation, with the inner edge of the foot lifting, the ankle, the tibial head, the fibula, making the movement, you can see that that movement rotates everything so the femoral head comes into what would be the joint capsule. So, and that's crucial for us. That's crucial for us in walking and standing and sitting and having a real sense of how to find the support from the floor in such a way that every movement we make places the head of the femur into the joint capsule, because when this is properly done, the joint capsule has an even space all the way around the femoral head. When it's not done well, if it starts to come out of the capsule, if I have the capsule here, it starts to come out of the capsule, you'll actually close the space in the front. Yeah, so you're impinging to the front of the joint. And then if you're standing on that, then you have reason for the system to begin to get an arthritic condition, because the system has to protect the bony layers and the tissue inside the joint capsule. Yeah, which is what we don't want to have. We don't want to end up in that situation where the arthritic changes begin to take place. Yeah. So when the joint capsule is proper, the femoral head is properly organized into the joint capsule, then the transmission of force is onto the femoral head and up through the body in such a way that all the surrounding area around the femoral head is maintained, and you're not putting undue stress against any point of the cartilage in the joint capsule. When you're standing, you only got about 10 or 12 degrees of where you're actually weight bearing on the top of the femoral head. Yeah, you've only got a small number of the 360 degrees of the joint of the femoral head. Only 10 or 12 are where you're actually weight bearing. So you have to be really, really precise as to how you're going to initiate the movement from your skeleton from the floor so that you're weight-bearing on those 10 or 12 degrees. Because if you're sloppy in this, then you put the weight-bearing into a different, completely different bias across the joint cap, the head of the femur. Yeah, and you close the joint. Yeah, and when the joint's closed and the femoral head is trying to move out of the joint, then you can only rely on soft tissue to try to pull the to keep the joint from disarticulating. Yeah.
So is there also some influence in regards to some of the musculature that would at the upper end of the femur that, I mean,
well, that's,
helps to hold?
That's the difficulty. You know, philosophically, this is where we would run into difficulty with the physical therapist or the physical trainers.
Yeah.
Because if you're squatting, or
they say strengthen something
above there, strengthen the glute medius,
which will help to hold the
right.
Yeah,
okay. So the person who's making a lunging movement and their knee rotates in and the joint's coming out and the hip hikes up, right? So they're going to say strengthen the glute medius and that'll make the movement. And I would say no, that's not going to make the
movement.
Make the correct movement and then the glute medius is properly tonified. So, but you have to know how to find the exact point of contact, the precise points of contact, and to make the movement through the skeleton in such a way that movement is precisely organized.
Well, that's a more efficient movement than when you had your knee turned in, depending on what it is you're trying to do.
Right.
It's organized in the skeleton as greater support.
And the skeleton has weird. So for me, it's always a question of how do we go about gaining the knowledge of how to find the correct support to the skeleton and let the musculature take care of itself when you have the correct skeletal support. Because the musculature will take care of itself because it can't not.
Yeah.
It has to. The way we find...
Correctly, then
right. If the skeleton provides you with clear support through the skeleton, then the musculature will be turned on to... in order to support that activity. If you in any way make a movement through the skeleton where you're falling, then the musculature has to become engaged to keep you from falling. And if it's engaged in keeping you from falling, then it's going to interfere with the ability to have the outcome of whatever activity you want to have. Tim Duncan, you watch him shoot free throws. It's the most ridiculous thing you'll ever see. What does he do? He puts his knees together. Well, what's he trying to do? He's trying to give himself a stable base so that he can control the movement. He's given himself the worst stable base he could have, because he's actually dropped his weight and all of his system is now trying to keep him from falling.
So then when he extends to make the free throw, then he
He just makes this movement off, but he can't control. He doesn't have the support to have the movement come up and through him. So he can have, and it's not what he does in any other shot. And why someone would let him do this silly thing, I can't imagine. But that's what you see. Okay, so. All right, so now make the movement again with your left foot, so that you can't see it, but you can sense. Use your senses to make the movement of lifting the outer edge and the inner edge of your foot. And you can move it with the ankle, you can move it with the fibular head, you can move it by playing with the plateau. But you have to really clearly associate to the movement. Right on time.
Later than I should be.
You'll have to listen to the rest of the tape.
I know. I'll just sit over here and kind of
watch. Well, take off the shoe.
That's illegal.
How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, good.
That's a bro, right?
That's a bro. That's Brother Mark.
I've seen him for a couple thousand light years.
Yeah.
John Whitley. Hello, John Whitley. How are you? Good. Good to see you.
All right.
Been many, many moons.
All right, so we're playing with a lesson that has to do with lifting the inner edge and the outer edge of the feet and the relationship of that, the relationship to the foot to the lower leg, to the relationship to how the femur supports the pelvis for standing, for walking, so that's what the lesson is about. All right, so leave it again and rest for just a moment. And again, notice if these subtle movements have in any way changed the overall tone that you notice, the sense of softness or availability, the sense of connection you have with your legs. If your legs, you have a sense that your legs are more your legs than they were a little while ago. And then bend both knees, stand both feet. And lift the inner edge of both feet. Now that means in such a way that you lift the inner edge of your foot, and as you lift the inner edge of your foot, you keep the metatarsal head of the big toe down, and you keep the heel down. So it's lifting the inner edge of both feet. And as you listen to the movement of lifting the inner edge of both feet and then put them back, and then lift the inner edge and go back and forth a number of times, you're lifting the inner edge a number of times. And you can use the sensation of the foot that's more clear for you. Because usually you'll find that because of old injuries or whatever, one foot is more clear than the other. And then you can really listen to the movement of one. If you need to, you make it on the good foot a little bit prior to the other foot, and then you make the other movement on the other foot so that it catches up or begins to match the movement that you're making on the leg that's easy for you. You use it to learn from yourself. You sense what you're doing and make the movement more and more accurate for yourself. Right, leave it please, and lift the outer edges of both feet. Lifting the outer edges of both feet means that the heel stays on the ground and the metatarsal head of the little toe stays on the ground, and you lift so that you have a sense that the outer edge lifts. Again, there's so many movements involved with this. The ankle, the way that the ankle turns to lift the outer edge. The way the plateau of the tibia rotates under the condyles of the knee. The way the fibula moves. Yeah. So you can initiate these movements in different ways, and you can again use the foot that's easier for you to sense as a teaching tool for the other foot. You can learn from the movement that's easiest. Make it on one side, listen to it, and then if the other foot's not quite so clear, you make it to the good side several times, and then make it to the side that's not so easy several times until it becomes more and more clear. Lift the inner edge of the right foot and the outer edge of the left foot. Lift the inner edge of the right foot and the outer edge of the left foot. Lift the inner edge of the left foot and the outer edge of the right foot. You can take a shot of your shoes, it'll help.
I'm sensing my shoes. I've got another. Just the rotation of my calls. That's probably a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. This is an extraordinary lesson for the golf swing. Absolutely extraordinary lesson for getting your feet properly organized for the golf swing. Lift the inner edges of both feet and then the outer edges of both feet. Go back and forth. Now, move your feet to where you want to have the support that you'd like and lift your pelvis again and notice if there's any difference in the lifting of your pelvis from the earliest, the first time you lifted. Find out if you don't find somehow a better point of purchase than you may have found in the very beginning and whether or not your pelvis comes off the ground more easily than it did the first time. Is there any difference? Notice any difference? Where you find the support. Yeah? Now, lift the inner edges of your feet, making sure you keep the metatarsal head of the big toe on the ground, and so as you lift your pelvis, lift the inner edge of your feet. And notice the effect that this has. Lift the inner edges of your feet. Now, be careful. Make the movement in such a way of lifting your pelvis in such a way that your knees stay in place so that the trajectory of the movement goes further and further up your spine towards your head. So it means that you have to innervate and activate the musculature higher and higher up your back. Great. All right. Leave it and rest. All right, come up to sitting, please. Place the soles of your feet together. Lean back on your hands. Lift the inner edge of your right foot.
Inner edge?
The inner edge of your right foot. How will you do it? You'll have the same exact pattern, the soles of your feet together, and the same pattern, the same movement that takes place in the ankle to lift the inner edge, the same rotation that takes place in your lower leg, the same movement in the fibula, and the same way that the femoral head twists into the joint capsule by lifting the inner edge of the foot. You think your brother would let you use that as an excuse from keeping you from having to buck those bales of hay and dig in those post holes, Donnie? Lift the inner edge of your left foot. All right. Lie back down again. Stand your left foot, lie back down, stand your left foot, and if you would please, place the outer edge of your right foot between your left heel and your left buttocks, so that your right knee comes toward the floor. That's it. And place your left foot along the inner edge of your right foot, so that your left heel rests on the inner edge of your right heel, and the center of your left foot rests on the ball, the metatarsal head of the big toe of your right foot. And very slowly lift the inner edge of your left foot. Lift the inner edge of your left foot. And as you lift the inner edge of your left foot, lower your left knee to the floor to the left. And as you lift the outer edge of your left foot, begin to bring your knee back to standing. So you use the movement of lifting the inner edge and the outer edge of your foot to lower your knee toward the floor without destroying yourself or hurting your back. It doesn't have to go far. Using the outer edge of your foot to bring your leg back to standing, the inner edge to lower your leg toward the floor. Toward the floor. Now make this movement, but slide your left foot up onto your right ankle. Slide your left foot up onto your right ankle. And make the movement a few times of lifting the inner edge of your foot and lowering your left knee toward the floor to the side. And then lift the outer edge of your foot to bring your knee back to standing. In other words, this movement is promoting the opening of your hip joint, of the in the sense of opening your legs to the side. This is one of the ways that Moshe prepared people for being able to sit cross-legged. And after two or three movements, then you slide your foot a little further up your lower leg. You lift the inner edge and you lower your leg to the outside, and you lift the outer edge and you bring your foot, your knee back to standing. You make two or three movements and you go further and further up the leg. And of course, the weight of your left leg and left foot on your right leg is somehow pressing into your skin and pressing your right leg a little bit more open. And then the activity of the movement opens the knees apart and brings them back together. Yeah. So you can go down and back as far as you're comfortable with the movement, up towards your knee. And then when you're ready, you come back and you rest for a moment and you stop whenever you want to stop. You can go up your leg, down your leg, lifting the inner edge of your foot, the outer edge of your foot, wherever you'd like. You see, every time you lift the inner edge of your foot and your leg moves to the outside, you're promoting the movement of the femoral head into the hip joint. Okay, leave it please and rest for a moment. All right. After you rest for a moment, then change the position so that the sole of your right foot is resting on the inner edge of your left foot, so that your right heel is resting on the inner aspect of your left heel, and the middle, so it's the middle of the sole of your right foot, the middle toe, so to speak, is resting on the metatarsal head of the left foot. So your foot is going right down the inner edge of your foot, and you lift the inner edge of your foot a little bit, and your leg opens to the outside as if to bring your right knee to fall toward the floor. And then you lift the outer edge of your foot and you bring your leg back to standing. And for the most of us, this is not the most easy movement for us to make. To get the adductors to not be so overly involved. If you have the tendency to pronate when you walk, to really get the abductors, the muscles that open the leg, to become engaged, to fire properly so that the inner muscles, the inner leg muscles, can release properly. And you go a few times, and then you lift, slide your foot, the sole of your right foot, onto your left ankle, and you work your way up your leg in the same way. Where are you headed? Oh, you're going on a camping trip. No? Does she have something you need?
She's packed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have a pack. Does she need cook kits and all that stuff? Just the pack?
I pack.
Okay. What time is it? I'm going to abuse these guys for about 10 more minutes. Terrible abuse I heap on people. Okay, continue to make the movement. That's good. You'll be surprised at the effect of this. All right, leave it, please. Once again, bring your feet to standing and lift your pelvis and discover the effect that it's having. And as you lift your pelvis, remember that you're making a movement that's keeping the inner aspect of the metatarsal head, the big toe on the ground, but you lift the inner edge of your foot and make this rotational movement so that the femoral head goes into the joint. You can really listen to the movement and how this, the effect of this, lifting your pelvis. Yeah, wonderful. All right, please come up to sitting and place the soles of your feet together. Lift the inner edges of both feet. Lift the inner edges of both feet. Lean back on your hands. Lift the inner edges of both feet. That's it. And you see that as you lift the inner edges of both feet, the rotation of your leg wants to lower your legs to the ground unless you're getting a cramp. And as you lift the inner edge of your feet, lift your pelvis off the ground with your hands. Use your hands, lift the inner edge of your feet, and then lift your pelvis. Lift the inner edges of your feet, and then lift your pelvis. Lift the inner edges of your feet, lift your pelvis, and begin to slide your pelvis towards your heels. That's it. That's it. So you can change the position of your hands so that you can continue to lift and bring your pelvis towards your heels to whatever degree is comfortable for you. But as you lift the inner edge of your foot, the rotation of your lower leg, the opening of your knees provides the space for your pelvis to come further and further forward toward your heels. And you can smile when you're doing it too.
Maybe you can.
All right. Leave it, lie back, and rest. All right, now please come up onto your knees for a moment. So you're standing on your knees. So you're standing upright on your knees. And lift the inner edge of one of your feet. And this is ridiculously difficult, because where in the hell's the inner edge of my foot when I'm backwards like this? Yeah, but to actually find out what it is to lift the inner edge of your feet, which means to make the exact same movement. The inner edge of the foot means that the rotation of the tibia moves, and there will be a rotation, there will be a movement on your knees. Does the weight move to the inside of your knees or the outside of your knees when you lift the inner edge?
Inside for me.
Then try it the other way. Yeah, okay. So now as you lift the inner edge of your feet, begin to go back as if you're going to sit on your heels. As you lift the inner edge of your feet, that means you're going to be rotating the femurs, you're going to be going to the outer edge of your knee, that's right, and you have a sense, that, even you, Donnie, have a sense that you could jump forward from here. You could start to come forward. Okay. You can sense that there's a power in the way that the legs are organized, that you have the sense of power, that strength that you can come forward with that. That's right, Bob, you can sense it. Now, if you rotate and lift the outer edge of your feet, and you fall to the inner part of your knees, and so that you do what people normally do when they go down, that's right, now your hip joints are going out, and you lost the power there, didn't you? It'd be tough to shoot a jump shot from there, wouldn't it? That's exactly what Duncan's doing when he's shooting his free throws. Right? And you can sense that you've lost that.
Just a matter of a couple of inches.
That's right. Just the rotational quality in the way that the musculature is recruited for the activity to go up and through, as opposed to just trying to catch you from falling.
Or doing a 360 in midair trying to pass the ball.
Exactly. Donnie's noted for his ability
in the 360 pass. He's very proficient.
He kept throwing the ball back to the other team. We'd be on a fast break. He was in the middle of the air, and he turned around and threw it back to them, so they get a...
It wasn't just an ordinary turn, though.
No, it was beautiful. It was a pirouette that anybody who saw it would...
He fell down laughing.
I was on the floor. This was an AAU basketball game. I saw this and literally was on the floor. When you pay attention, it gives you such a profound sense of the power that's in the hip joints. When you really get this inner activity, now as you come out of that, bah, and if you could teach that, you're teaching the jump shot, you're teaching all the hitting, batting, all the different movements. Beautiful, right?
Yeah.
Right there, you could teach the jump shot out of that movement right there.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. Now you have the power. And someone who's, young people or someone who's elastic, they just take this and they just pop, they just spring and they just come standing right on the feet.
Yeah. You go ahead. You go first.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Oh, no, I don't
try. I actually have my friend Robert Spencer from Idaho. He's in his 60s and he just pops right up. He just doesn't even, he just pop. That's right. Don't do it yourself, Donald.
Got one leg.
Exactly. It's good. But you have the right idea. You can sense the potential for it.
Yeah, I couldn't do it the other way, though.
No, there's no way.
Break your knee or something.
Yeah. All right. So now, come one last moment. Lie on your back.
I think I conceptualize doing that.
Yeah. Bend your knees, bring your feet to standing. And once again, lift your pelvis and sense what it's like to lift your pelvis. Because it'll give you, you'll have an even better potential for lifting your pelvis now that you've really sensed that activity. And Bob, go ahead and lift your pelvis all the way now, keeping your knees still so your knees don't go downward. But you drive the movement further and further and further and further, so it'll start to deal with that upper area of your back between your shoulder blades. It'll start to turn that on, and it'll start to help you with that the roundness of your back, which is interfering with your golf swing, even though that hamstring is really barking at you. Well, that's where the hamstring attaches.
Yeah. Actually, it seems like it's below that
even. Oh, okay. Okay. There you go. Keep going further. Now keep pushing, keep the floor solid, and keep the movement going further and further up toward your shoulders as if to come onto the top of your shoulders. That's right. That's right. All right, leave it now. Come to stand and see what it's like to stand.